28 this morning, but if you'll allow me some time, we're going to take the long way to get there and start in John chapter 11 and kind of work our way back towards Matthew, and we'll try to keep it a little brief. I will warn you, the couple weeks ago we preached away, and my wife told me I preached too long, so we'll see what happens, and that was with them having a stopwatch on the pulpit, so that was kind of weird, but we'll try not to do that this morning, Lord willing. We're going to take the long route, and we're going to look at, I think, 8 or 9 passages of Scripture leading up to our text in Matthew. Very familiar accounts in Scripture. We're not going to read them all. We're really only going to read a verse or two about them. But I trust they are familiar enough, and we can get our point across. In John chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse number 1, and he says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." And we know the account here, this man Lazarus, a dear friend of Christ, the brother of Mary and Martha. And of course, this man passed away, was buried in a sepulcher, and of course they asked the question, why are we tarrying when you can go there and heal him? And of course, Jesus did the impossible and raised Lazarus from the dead. But we want to notice that a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Back up to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4, we'll start reading, but this is probably my favorite passage of Scripture. I've preached on this Scripture probably more than any other. This story always just brings something new in my life. But in John chapter 4 and verse number 4, it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And we can fill the blanks in there. This account, Christ goes to this well, not for the well itself. He goes through Samaria, and notice the phrase, "he must needs go." He didn't have to go through Samaria for the sake of travel purposes. In other words, it would have made more sense and more cultural sense for him to avoid this area altogether, but there was a certain woman who was going to be at this well. And of course, in this reaction with Christ, she came to know him as the Lord and Savior. You go back up to Luke chapter 18, and forgive me, we'll try not to flip around too much after we get to Matthew. But Luke chapter 18, in verse number 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And this is, of course, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee here praying, as we heard this week. But he was speaking to a certain group of people that esteem themselves highly when they shouldn't. Back up to, go forward to 18 verse 35. And we see another account. And he says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." And this, of course, the account of blind Bartimaeus, who although was blind, was still able to see his need for a Savior, and the Lord not only restored his sight, but restored his soul unto him. Back up to chapter 17 and verse number 12, and I promise you all this has a purpose. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12 says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And of course, as he went to this certain village to meet these certain 10 lepers, and of course he healed them, and of course only one came back and showed gratitude for him. Back up to chapter 10 of Luke and verse 38. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into our house. And this is the account where Martha has Christ over for dinner, and of course Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and we know how that ends. Martha wanted Mary's help, but Christ said, don't take this blessing from her. She's choosing that which is more needful. Back up to chapter 8 and verse 27. We see the demonic man of the Gadareans, but in 27 he says, and he went forth to land where there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. We know this account of the man that was possessed with the legions of demons, and of course the Lord healed this man when nobody else could bind him or chain him or solve his problems and afflictions. But there's a certain man here. Back up to chapter 5 of Luke, in chapter 5 and verse 12. And it says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. We see Christ encountering a certain leper in a certain city, in order to heal this man, as he did. And then back up finally to Mark chapter 5 before we get to Matthew. Mark chapter 5, we'll just read verse 25. And he said, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, we'll read verse 26 as well, it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. We see this certain woman who had an issue for 12 years. Nobody else could heal her. Nobody else could help her. She spent her life savings, but along came Christ and healed her and rid of her of those afflictions. Now we come to Matthew chapter 28. All these accounts had something in common, and we'll get to that in a moment, but it dealt with a certain person or a certain people. We've entitled the message, if you will, Certainty in an Uncertain World. The world we live in today, as we hear so often, is very uncertain. Unless you read the scriptures, then it becomes a little more certain. But there's a lot of uncertainty going on in the world today. We don't know what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. We don't know what the president's going to do. We will, if we read the scriptures, we can kind of make a good guess. But there's so much uncertainty today and age. Things change all the time. But even in these times, there are certainties we can follow, certainties we can hold into. And we all know Matthew chapter 28 is the Great Commission towards the end. And we're going to look at this probably in a little different way, but as you probably know, my mind works a little different than most sometimes. But in Matthew 28, we'll just start reading in verse 18 and read the Great Commission, if you will. And it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We know the Great Commission. We've heard it time and time again, and we use it as our battle cry, if you will, for visitation and going out and witnessing and soul witnessing. And we've heard time and time again this commission was given to the church, which it is. But there's a lot more in these verses than just soul winning. Not to take away from soul winning, not to take away from witnessing anymore. Anyway, but there are so much more in these verses than going out on visitation or passing out flyers or making a phone call. The first thing we want to look at, and this Great Commission has a lot in common with those nine accounts that we read. The first certainty we want to look at is a certain people. Each of those nine accounts we looked at previously all dealt with a certain person or a certain group of people. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. this commission was given to a certain people. You back up to verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. The certain people that was given this commission were the 11 disciples at the time. Of course, the Lord's first church. This commission was given to a certain people. And you think about those other 9 accounts. Lazarus sticks out in my mind. There was a certain man called Lazarus that had a great need, had a great affliction in his life, being deathly ill, and of course he died later that day. And by the time the Lord got there, he was dead 3 days, and the Lord, of course, called out, Lazarus, come forth. He was in the midst of a cemetery, in the midst of many sepulchres, but yet he called a certain man. Now, by the world's definition of God and who God is or should be, a God full of love and loves everybody, why didn't he call every dead person in that cemetery to come out, to come forth? Hopefully I don't get in trouble, but may I dare say that he elected Lazarus to come forth. There was a certain people. It wasn't for everyone. That message of come forth wasn't for the graveyard. It was for a certain person. It was for Lazarus. And we'll get to that again later. We all know 1 Corinthians 12:18. But God hath set the members, every one of them, in the church as it hath pleased him. The Lord has a certain people today. His church. His people. He placed them in the church as he sees fit. We think about Elijah. Elijah, so discouraged, so distraught, so beaten down by the world around him and having himself a pity party when he's saying that I'm alone and I'm here to serve you. You know, what can I do? I'm going to go hide in this cave or pout under this tree. And what does the Lord tell him? That he has a people that have yet to bow the knee to Baal. There's a certain people today that haven't bowed the knee. There's a certain people that the Lord has set apart. And as Brother Matt said in Sunday school, I'm thankful that certain people is not just for the Jews anymore. The Lord has a certain people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, if you want to turn there, keep your fingers here in Matthew, but 1 Peter chapter 2, again, very familiar verses. We're not trying to bring anything new. We're just trying to lay some groundwork until we get to our final point. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 9, the Lord says of this certain people, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which were in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's a certain people the Lord has chosen to serve him in and throughout this church. Home Missionary Baptist Church has a certain people. Has a certain people fit together by the Lord himself. And I say this, and hopefully you guys don't take this the wrong way. I love each and every one of you. I love this church. I love its members. But I don't necessarily want any of you to be a member of 12 Ryan Baptist Church. And I say that because unless the Lord places you there, you'll do more harm than good. If I came and joined Home Missionary Baptist Church on my own inkling, on my own nature, on my own want and desire, I would do you more harm than I ever could do good. I say that about anybody. We want our churches to grow, but we need the Lord to grow them, the Lord to add to it. I often think about, you know, why us? Why now? Why me? Why have I was chosen to be born in this generation, born in a time that's becoming tougher and tougher for Christians, nowhere near what it was for the early church. But why? Why us? I think about Queen Esther. You know, when Esther had that responsibility to go before the king and plead for the lives of the Jewish people. And when her uncle Mordecai was conversing with her from letters and word of mouth through her servants about that she needed to go before the king and do this, and of course Esther was on the fence at first, saying, you know, he could kill me. Who am I? Why me? In Esther 4:14, Mordecai says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." You know, Mordecai was saying, you know, the Jews of God's people were going to be preserved. You either want the blessing or you don't. And then he says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" We often wonder and have that pity party, you know, why us? Why are we going through all this in the world today? But if you ever think that maybe we were born, maybe we were saved, maybe we were called to service for such a time as this. God knows who we are. God knows who He calls. God knows who He placed in the membership of Home Missionary Baptist Church. And God also knows the times in which we live. You could think about all the great men and women, you would know them better than I, but you think about the great men and women that have served in this church for the years gone by. How they stood, I could think those at 12 Ryan that have stood from time to time. And oftentimes I think, you know, I fail in comparison to most of them. But the Lord has chosen us to be in this time and not them. There's a certain people here this morning. There's a certain people here today, but yet oftentimes we focus on the people not here. We focus on those that chose not to be here for whatever reason. We look around and say, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, that message would have done them good. And a lot of these thoughts were actually going to echo from the conference that we just went through. But we need to start thinking, what does God have for me here today? You know, I think I have the examples in my own life. When I surrendered to the ministry, I struggled with it a little bit, not knowing what to do. And when I surrendered to the ministry, it wasn't very long at all that our pastor at the time, Brother Bowen, had some very trying health issues, some of you know. And he physically couldn't stand behind the pulpit every week. So it was quickly after I surrendered to preach that he turned over Wednesday night services to me and helped, called me on Saturdays to preach on Sunday when he wasn't feeling well. That was not by accident. God knew that he was going to go through those trying times, and I took that as an affirmation of this is what I'm supposed to do at that time. And then Brother Matt last week, or during the conference, made mention about the song leaders and how Brother Bill came and said that he wanted help with the song service, and then Brother Brock had some health issues to fill in. That's not by accident. God knows who's a member of this church. He knows what your church needs. We think about all the things we could do if Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so were still here, if they were still healthy. God knew they wouldn't be here, and God knows who's here. God has given our churches everything they need to succeed, to flourish, to fulfill all the duties of a church. Just some of us have to get out of our comfort zone and step up and do some things. And I'm so thankful for Brother Bill and his song leading, but I'll tell you, it was a blessing to see Brother Brock back up here at the conference. It's been a while. And I think it's amazing that you guys rotate a little bit. You never know when he's going to be called on next or to do certain things. That's the way we need to be. It's not about one person. It's about the church. God knows what our people need today and our churches need. And He places them and fits them together for a specific reason. Now going back to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. We see not only was this commission given to a certain people, His church. We see it was given in a certain place. Each of those nine accounts we read previously, many of them plainly said that Christ came to a certain place or a certain area. It was not by accident that the Samaritan woman was at that well. Christ went to a certain place to meet a certain someone. So we see in the Great Commission as well, there was a certain people in a certain place. Again, back up to verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 28. He says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." We see the 11 disciples gathered together in this mountain, not by accident. Not because they were trying to find a place to go and they stumbled upon this mountain. Christ told them to go to this mountain. Christ appointed this place for them to meet and for them to go. And so they did. They were gathered together in that certain place by Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:18, we know it well. "But now hath God set the member of every one of them in the body or the church, as it hath pleased him." The certain people of Home Missionary Baptist Church have been brought to a certain place. Home Missionary Baptist Church. Now I know the church is the people, not the building. But the Lord has blessed you with a beautiful building in which to serve him in it. And there's no substitution for gathering together with the Lord's people, with your church. You know, oftentimes we think that we can just serve the Lord wherever and as long as we're studying. And that's all good, we should be, but it doesn't replace coming together as a church. There's so many reasons and so many things throughout the days that we separate ourselves and we're always, you know, together but not together. We can have some sort of togetherness without being physically together. I get that. But none of that replaces coming together in his house at his time. We're told not to forsake assembling ourselves together. We need to be together. You read the scriptures and more often than not, it talks about how we need to be together. We need fellowship with like-minded believers. And I will tell you this. I love going to other churches and preaching. I love it. It's been one of my greatest privileges and blessings because I meet people that I never would have met before. I'm able to get rid of that Elijah syndrome and know that I'm not alone because I go to other states, other cities, and meet people that believe just like I do. And that's such a blessing. And as much as I love being here today and love every time I fill in, there's still part of me that misses home. There's still part of me that wonders what our church is doing now. We can't take place of our home church. We're called to be in a certain place together. And I understand we go on vacation. We have things going on in our lives. But that shouldn't be a habit to miss church. We are called together to be in a certain place. These 11 disciples, given the Great Commission, they were called together by Christ to be in that mountain. They were at a certain place. Not only were they a certain people in a certain place, they were gathered together to hear a certain proclamation. The Great Commission. They were gathered together to hear the Lord say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." They were gathered together to hear that certain proclamation, as we know as the Great Commission. Luke 1:4 tells us, I'm just turning that, I forgot to write this one down, but Luke chapter 1 and verse number 4, we have Luke writing, and he says, he's writing to Theophilus, but he says, "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." You know, there's certainties in the Word of God. How do we know? If we go to the Scriptures. We hear the preaching, and as it's been taught so often, we need to see if those things are true. And I want to ask the church a question. But I'm going to ask for Brother Matt's permission. Can I ask a question? It's a question that if it's the right answer, we'll just keep on preaching. If it's the wrong answer, we're going to have to get another set of notes. But I will ask Home Missionary Baptist Church, do you believe that you were led by the Holy Spirit to call Brother Matt as your pastor? Okay, we can keep going. If you believe that, follow the teaching. Follow the preaching. Not the man. And if you notice, and I think I can say this without putting my foot in my mouth, with the exception of one in his family, no members of Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church followed Matt here, besides his wife. I don't think she did so under too much duress, and if she did, don't tell him where you got Brother Matt's number. But I don't think she did. She followed her husband, followed the Lord. But notice, and I guarantee you, the members of Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church love Brother Matt, but they didn't leave to follow a man. Don't follow Brother Matt as a man, but if you believe the Lord has called him to be your pastor, follow the words that he brings forth. And that doesn't mean you follow blindly. You go and make sure what he says is true. How? As Luke said, go to the Scriptures, that you may know of a certainty those things are true. Go to the Scriptures. Follow the man the Lord has given you to follow. You know, there's different churches, and again, I don't understand how the Lord works everything out. There's other of the Lord's churches that are meeting together right now, and they're all hearing a different message, albeit prayerfully out of the same book. Your pastor checked my Bible this morning, so you can rest assured of that. But a different message is being preached. A different proclamation of the gospel is being preached in all the Lord's churches today. And there may be some very good messages out there being preached right now. And I encourage you, go to some of those brothers and sisters, those brother and those sister churches' websites and listen to messages when you have time. And, you know, I'm so thankful for you guys' website. I'll just say that. Early on in my ministry, and I've downloaded so many messages from that website. I appreciate you guys putting those on there. It's a good thing to go and listen to good sound preaching. But that doesn't take away from the preaching that you get in your own church. You know, it's good to go hear a brother teach on a certain subject, but you shouldn't miss your church to go hear it. Hear it later. That's what technology's for. We can do that now. But you are brought here in Home Missionary Baptist Church to this certain place to hear the certain proclamation brought to you by your pastor, your under-shepherd. You know, I don't care how good the message is. It's not going to be the same as your pastor preaching. You're not going to get the same out of it. I truly believe that. You are to be here to hear a certain proclamation. These men and these women in the nine accounts we read previously, there was a certain proclamation for them to hear. Those words, come forth, was not for the graveyard. It was for Lazarus. Those words of, you know, thy faith hath made you whole, were not for everybody. It was just for the ones that believed in the Christ healed. We're here today to hear a certain proclamation. Again, we always, our minds wander sometimes and think about who's not here and they could have used us. Well, you're here to hear a certain proclamation from the Lord. And that brings us to our final point, which will take the rest of our time. But we see in this great commission, a certain people, the 11 disciples, the church, in a certain place on that mountain, to hear a certain proclamation, the giving of the Great Commission, if you will, and they do so for a certain purpose. You know, that Great Commission again in verses 18. It's right there. But he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There was a certain purpose. The Lord had gathered this certain people together in that certain place to hear the certain word. That purpose was to go and teach all nations. And if you notice the Great Commission, how we said before, it was more than just soul witnessing, soul winning. You see a progression in the verses here. They told you to go out and teach them, which is your gospel, your soul winning, your door knocking, door hangers, whatever have you. Talking to your neighbors, talking to your families, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, bringing them into the church. After you go there and give them the gospel, you bring them in there, you baptize them, you give them the right hand of fellowship, if you will. And then you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Once they're here, you begin to teach. You begin to grow. That individual should begin to grow, and as that individual grows, your church should grow. Not just numerically, but spiritually as well. That was the purpose of the Great Commission. Not just to go check the box off and say, hey, we went door knocking this week. It's to keep going. It's to keep going and teach them and grow closer together, closer to the Lord. I have another question for Home Missionary Baptist Church. What is your purpose? What is the purpose of Home Missionary Baptist Church? And I'm going to say a couple things that hopefully you don't beat me up afterwards. Is your purpose to put on one of the best conferences in our fellowship? You guys do. I will gladly say that you guys do, but that's not your purpose. I'm so thankful that you've put on this conference year after year and all the hard work that goes into it. But that's not the purpose of Home Missionary Baptist Church. Is your purpose to provide some of the best hospitality to visiting preachers and visitors in our fellowship? Again, you do. And I will attest to that, and I don't want you to ever stop. But that's not your purpose. I think of this church as a family, and I've had the privilege to be in some of your homes, and I know you're not supposed to mention names from the pulpit, but I'm going to do it. You know, I love tea, sweet tea, unsweet tea, hot tea, whatever it may be, but you know, I've never had a cup of tea that tasted better than at Brother Art's place. Just tasted better. The fellowship there, just sweeter. You know, I've never really understood the whole terms work and play until I was at Brother Dwayne's house. It's just different. In the times that I've been at Brother Charlie's, Sister Paula's house, I don't know how to explain it, huh? But you know, fellowship has never been so sweet. You know, we go to Brother Charlie's, Sister Paula's house, it's just being home. They even let me sleep in their chair. You know, I'll tell you, it's something just to be comfortable enough to take a nap at somebody else's house. That's a big thing. And I remember, and I think I've said this before, but one of the early times I was up here preaching, and it was real bad weather going home, and late and dark and windy and rainy and stormy, and many of you, and the hospitality here has always been top-notch. Many of you offered me to go to your homes and sleep. Many of you offered to pay for a hotel room. The church as a whole offered to pay for a hotel for the night, but I was stubborn. I had to work early in the morning. We were going to get home. Brother Charlie looked at me and said, you call me when you get home. And I said I would, but I had full intention of not calling Brother Charlie. I'm just going to be honest. Just say what he wanted to hear, and I'll go about my way. But he looked at me again and said, I mean it. You call me when you get home. When I got home, I called Brother Charlie. That's the kind of hospitality this church has. It feels like family. Not once have I walked in these doors where I felt out of place. And I'll tell you, when I go visit other churches, it's sometimes a little awkward. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure what to say. You're not sure where to stand. That's never been the case here. And I appreciate that so much. But that's not your purpose. It's a good thing. I encourage you to keep doing that, not only for my benefit, for others, but keep doing it. You know, in some ways, from what I hear gathered around, this is the first time that I've been here with your pastor here. In some ways, you treat me a lot better than your pastor, and I thank you for that. But that's not your purpose. Those are results of your purpose. Those are results of knowing what your purpose is, and your purpose is to honor and glorify the Lord. Those other things stem from that purpose. The more you honor and glorify the Lord, the more those things come into place. 1 Peter 2:9 again says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into light. That's our purpose. As we heard Brother Gordon preach in the conference, you know, behold the Lamb. Everything we say, everything we do should point back to Christ, not ourselves. You know, I'm so thankful for the hospitality and everything you've given to me, but not once has it ever been bragging about yourselves. It's always about showing the love that Christ has shown you. I appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do." Even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. That's your purpose. The Lord has not just put together a random group of people and just threw them together and said good luck. No, you should take great pride and great honor and great privilege the Lord has placed you in this church. He knows what each one of you need. And He knows that you need each other to edify one another, to comfort one another. You know, there's nothing like the comfort of your church. And again, I'm so thankful for those cards and for those texts. And really, it felt like family. And I appreciate that. Church family is special. We are to edify one another, comfort ourselves together. James 5:14 says, "If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." What's the purpose of the church? Pray for one another. Pray for each other. Don't stop. And I will say this, if you ever run out of something to pray for your pastor. He needs it. You should never run out of something to pray for. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. I find it amazing as we talk about, you know, church and church family and the extended family, as we brought out Sunday school praying for Brother Hilly and praying for others that they have needs and the generosity and the love that's shown. That's not your purpose. Your purpose wasn't to take up a nice love offering. But because you're following your purpose, the Lord is showing His love through you guys. That's a blessing. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's your purpose. Teach one another, admonish one another, grow together. Praise the Lord together. Again, it's such a blessing to be able to be in other churches, but praising the Lord in other church doesn't feel quite the same as praising in a home church. Being back home. Now, I get it. We praise the Lord, and it's a good thing, but it's different. Being in your own church when the word is being preached or songs are being sang, it's different. That's what you're here for. Admonish the Lord. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. We were called together to hear in a certain place. And if you're a member of Home Missionary Baptist Church, you were called to this for a certain purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow the knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might and by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," kind of ties into the devotion we heard this morning, "according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Again, what is your ultimate purpose? To bring honor and glory to the Lord. All those other things that you do, all wonderful things, and trust me, they don't go unnoticed. But your purpose is to serve the Lord. The Lord brought the 11 disciples to that mountain
to hear the Great Commission. Not for them to brag in of themselves. Not for them to feel special. Because if you read those preceding verses, he says, I received the power and I'm giving it to you. That church had no power, except it was given to them by the Lord. That's our purpose, serve the Lord. In these uncertain times, as dark and dreary, as worrisome as they can be, the Lord has still brought a certain people to a certain place to hear a certain proclamation for a certain purpose. We'll ask another question before we close. Are you a certain person here today? Or are you wrapped up in this world of uncertainty? If you are a certain people, as certain as a man as Lazarus was, or the one at the well was, or the woman with the issue of blood, or the lepers that were cleansed, if you are a certain person, the Lord has a certain purpose for you. Those nine accounts that we read, and we didn't read them, we didn't go through them all, but that purpose wasn't that they might be healed. That was a result of the purpose. The purpose in each one of those accounts was to show the power, grace, and love of the Lord. Christ didn't raise Lazarus from the dead because Lazarus was such a good man. He was a good friend of Christ. He didn't do it because Mary and Martha were sad. If that was the case, everybody that lost a loved one that was sad, the Lord would raise them back. He didn't do it for that. He did it to show his power. Everything he did points back to his Father, points back to him. Our purpose, if you are a certain person, is to serve the Lord. And I will steal this because I kind of liked it, the conference. But the question that was echoed towards the close of the conference, when are you going to get around to it? You have a certain purpose. We need to get around to it now. As we've heard so many times, our time is limited. We don't know tomorrow. We can plan all we want to do our purpose tomorrow, but we're not guaranteed. We can think that we can tear down our barns and eat, drink, be merry, and coast the rest of our lives. But we don't know when the Lord is going to say, thou fool, your life's going to be required of you today. Members of Home Missionary Baptist Church, you are a certain people, placed in this certain place to hear a certain proclamation of the Lord for the purpose of serving the Lord. Don't wait to get around to it. And again, I could brag upon you guys time and time again. Your pastor does as well. Don't let that get to your egos. The moment you make that about you, you know why that cup of tea tastes so much better at Brother Art? It's not about him. There's not been one time that I've been at any one of your houses, really, but that the conversation about the Lord has not been brought up. That's why the fellowship is so sweet. That's why it's different. The moment we try to make things about us, as Brother Matt kind of said in Sunday school, that tea is not going to taste so good anymore. It's going to taste like any other cup of tea. Don't lose your purpose. Focus on Christ and get around to it now. Brother, if you'll come.